This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. We'll touch on a little bit more of the response to the Pete Hegseth talk to the military from yesterday, which was wonderful. Pete Buttigieg did something while he was Secretary of Transportation, which was terrible. They're going to try to adjust your thermostat for you. All that and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So we just had a talk at the end of last hour, in case you missed it, about how they deconstruct, they decolonize, which means they destroy. That's what it means. Remember that communism is about destruction. It is a religion of destruction. At its core, the thinking is everything is evil and everything must be destroyed. When I say everything, it's every institution, whether it be the family, the church, the government, the NFL, the Boy Scouts. Everything in existence is evil. It's all a system of oppression, and everything has to be destroyed. They will destroy themselves. They will destroy every single thing they touched. It really is a cancer, and it is a religion. If sometimes it can be hard to understand why they defend what they defend, even when it's indefensible. Why would you fight so hard for it? Why would you? Well, I'll use this example. Have you ever known somebody who is a workout freak? Just someone who works out all the time. A workout freak. Maybe you are one of these people. You're in the gym. You run. You do yoga. You do CrossFit. You are a workout freak. This person, and maybe it's you, this person, their life, so much of their life is worked around, revolves around the idea of being healthy. It affects everything for a true workout freak. It affects how often they sleep. It affects how they eat. It affects how they allot their time. It is a lifestyle for them. If you were to tell that person, or that person were to discover that somehow exercise is not good for you, it's bad for you. It's not just that exercise is bad for you would be a hard revelation for them. Well, their whole life revolves around that. A huge portion of their life revolves around that. You didn't take apart one particular part of their existence. You took apart their entire belief system. That's how communists operate, and that's how communists think. Now, Pete Hegseth, I realize the communists think it's extremely controversial, but he really gave up, got up yesterday, we played it last night, and gave the most basic speech in the world. When you think about what the essence of it was, hey, we should promote people based on merit. Hey, if you're in the military, you shouldn't be fat. If you are a leader in the military, you definitely shouldn't be fat. That's pretty much all he said. The whole thing came down to that. Our goal, our job is to protect America, to kill people, to break things. We should promote only the best and brightest, no matter what their skin color is, and you shouldn't be fat while you're doing it. At no other time in the history of our military would that be viewed as remotely controversial. So why are they taking it so hard on the left?
You know, the words that Donald Trump used today, enemy from within, mm-hmm. I mean, that's Hitler-esque. That is right out of Nazi Germany. That is not constitutional speech. That is not the speech that we stand for in this country where we believe in the rule of law.
He's talking about Trump's speech after the Hegseth thing. As far as the Hegseth thing itself, the idea of merit, meritocracy.
I call that the meritocracy myth, and it feels as though that myth of meritocracy, this idea that the women and the people of color, the LGBTQ folks, they are all there because of some help or some preference. That idea is a lie, but it feels as like it's a lie that they feel like Hegseth especially has to tell, because then they can twist the narrative, they can twist the truth, he can hide excellence. It gives cover for his own mediocrity because he is unqualified to be there.
They also had that line. He had that line about diversity isn't our strength. Oh. Unity is our strength, which made me wonder whether or not there is room for diverse opinions, diverse races, religions in his sense of unity.
I suspect not.
Remember that these people are not interested in America. They are not interested in having a strong military to protect America because they don't care about America itself at all. What they are interested in is promoting their friends and punishing their enemies. What they are interested in is decolonizing, deconstructing everything, including the United States military. They have declared war on everything you love, on everything that is good. And the idea of promoting people based on merit, what it would do is, it's not that it would eliminate black people or women. What it would do is it would eliminate the scumbags who these people consider to be friends. That's who it would eliminate. And that's what it did eliminate for the longest time. The United States military has been integrated for decades, They could pretend as if it wasn't, as if it was some sort of racist thing for decades. Black people, for instance, have risen to the highest ranks in every single military branch. This is not something new. This is how it's always been. So what are they actually worried about? It's not that they're worried about black people not getting promoted. They're worried about communists not getting promoted. That's what they're worried about, because they are deconstructing. They are decolonizing. They are destroying. That's how they think. Let's move on. Let's do some emails. I promised you some. Jesse, battleships. Oh, this is off of that interview last night. Last night in the third hour, we had Merchant Marine Captain John Conrad on to talk about firefighting on ships and to talk about how we need to rebuild our Navy. And he is a huge battleship guy. Not as in thinking they're really cool. Every guy with any testosterone thinks battlefields are cool. He thinks they should come back. We've gone completely away from them. He thinks they should come back. This guy says battleships and tanks are obsolete. Heck, a well-placed nuke will turn a carrier group into ocean reef. Why are the Chinese hardening their space lab? I'm just saying. All right, so we can talk about battleships, whether or not they're obsolete, tanks, whether or not they're obsolete. These are worthy debates to have. But in defense of what he was saying and in defense of the battleship, remember, the reason tanks, in large part, are obsolete now is because we figured out how to eliminate it, and it's no longer cost-effective to make one. And it's not cost effective to put men inside of one when it can be eliminated with a relatively cheap drone. Drone warfare is ugly. All warfare is ugly, I realize that. And it sounds futuristic to those of us who love to study wars of the past or maybe even fought in wars of the past. We really don't like it. I will tell you, I hate it. I hate the thought that some dork from 10 miles away can fly a drone in and kill our best and brightest, our toughest people, no matter how many push-ups you can do, no matter how many miles you can hump 100 pounds, no matter how hard you've worked, some dork with essentially a video game remote can fly in and blow you up. I hate it, but I don't get what I love, and neither do you in life oftentimes. Drone warfare is here. And it's not just that it's an individual drone here or individual drone there. The way of the future, until there are appropriate countermeasures, are drone swarms. Now, when you think of a drone, or when I think of a drone, oftentimes you think of something maybe your kid has or maybe you have, this this one, you know, four propeller thing you buzz around in? What about 1,000 of them working together at 200 miles an hour? These are things that already exist and they'll advance from there. Now, let's talk about ships. How do you stop that? What is the plan to stop that? The idea behind a battleship is the armor's too thick for the drone to take it out. That was the idea. Now, the idea behind Pure Talk is you don't have to spend a fortune on your cell service, and you don't have to pay a company that hates your guts for that cell service. That is another old way of thinking, as old as thinking tanks are still going to be the wave of the future. You do not need AT&T anymore because Pure Talk is here. You don't need Verizon. You don't need T-Mobile because Pure Talk is here. Pure Talk is my wireless company. Pure Talk does things. You remember the last thing they did around Independence Day? While Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile were sending your money to every vile communist cause, Pure Talk was sending out American flags to veterans. Whoever you nominated, it was wonderful. I loved your emails. I'm glad that it blessed you. Switch to Pure Talk. You've got 10 minutes. It's easy. You keep your phone and you keep your number, and you switch to the company that actually loves the country. All you have to do is pick up that cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email us love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So speaking of deconstructing, decolonizing, destroying, Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy spoke a little bit about why the Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg, or what the guy did as Transportation Secretary. He never had any intention, of course, of doing his job. He was given that job as a gift for dropping out of the presidential race, and because they thought it would maybe help his political aspirations. But being actually in charge of transportation was never something he intended to do. Like all communist infiltrators, he was there to decolonize things, to deconstruct things. Like this.
He driving policy that there was racism behind roads. He saw racism around every single corner, to the point where in aviation, he was so concerned about this, he wanted to change. He did change the name of cockpit to flight deck, because cockpit is too offensive and too masculine, I guess. Or we have what's NOTAM. It's notice to airmen. He's like, oh, that's offensive.
I've got to be honest with you. I'm hard to surprise. Maybe it's not because I'm intelligent, probably because I'm cynical. So I'm hard to surprise. In fact, I had to listen to this the first time I heard it. I had to listen to it two or three times because I'm in disbelief.
Driving policy that there was racism behind roads. He saw racism around every single corner, to the point where in aviation, he was so concerned about this. He wanted to change. He did change the name of cockpit to flight deck, because cockpit is too offensive and too.
I would have bet my life that Pete Buttigieg was a big fan of cockpit. I would have bet my life. What, Chris? Why are you making that face? I assumed that he was a cockpit man. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he hangs out at places called the cockpit. It really genuinely shocks me to hear Pete Buttigieg is anti-cockpit. Nothing makes sense anymore. Let's do some emails. Hey, King Bronco, I need your help solve a little argument between my wife and I. I won't divulge which one of us has which opinion as to keep bias out of your judgment. Here's the problem. Our son graduated high school last June and immediately started an apprenticeship with a plumbing company. I love that. He's a great kid, has always been a hard worker. As a 19-year-old adult working full-time, One of us believes it's completely fair and reasonable to get him to contribute $200 a month for rent, food, and other things. The other one wants us to treat him like a toddler. Is it right to charge a bit to an adult child with a full-time job if he's living at home? Of course, there would be not charges when he does his class parts of the apprenticeship. We absolutely do not need the $200. So is it bad to collect it just to show that we expect adults to contribute? What would you do with your boys? I can't wait to see which side you fall on. Love the show. His name is Ryan. Well, Ryan, obviously with the language you used in your email, it's pretty easy to see which side you fall on. You want to charge the boy $200. Your wife does not. Here is my thinking on this. I used to feel very, very strongly. In fact, if you've listened for a long time, I probably have said this on the air before. I used to feel very strongly about kicking my sons out of the house when they graduate high school. I believed in it all the way. It's pretty much what was done to me and my sister. Not that I needed any pushing. I wanted to go anyway. But you go fly, you go live in the real world. Since that time, as I've seen the evils of the world, and as I've seen what our economy is doing, smashing people, I've been less inclined to that. Now, I'm totally fine if my sons stick around, which they're not going to. They've already expressed that. But I would be totally fine if they stuck around until, you know, they got their feet under them, got married, and went and got a place of their own, an apartment or a house. Probably going to be an apartment, not going to be able to afford a house. Get an apartment of some kind. Whether I would charge them rent or not would entirely depend on where they are in life. I will not have a freeloading, lazy dirtball in my home. If they move out and they're freeloading, lazy dirtballs without jobs, they will never have a dime from me at all. They simply will not. It's not something I believe in. But if they're grinding, like it sounds like your son is grinding, they've proven that they're hard workers, that they're into it. I would probably skip the rent for them. It's not that I'm too, by the way, it's not like I'm dead against it, and I'm not saying you're wrong wanting to charge them. That's $200 a month they could be putting in their pocket, maybe towards a down payment for a house, maybe towards a rainy day fund. It sounds like your son at 19 doesn't need a lesson on hard work. It sounds like he knows hard work. If he needed the lesson, charge him the money. Doesn't sound like he needs a lesson. What, Chris? Chris said charge him the money and put it in an account for where he moves out. I don't hate that. I wouldn't hate that either, but I probably wouldn't charge him. There. That's how pillow soft I've gotten over the years. Apparently I need to up my tea levels. Also, as you look at your son, do remember that he's going to have a family one day with kids. And their kids and their kids after them and their kids after them are going to want to know more about grandpa and great-grandpa. You know how little I know about my great-grandparents? I know their names. I've seen a picture of one or two of them. I met one and only one, my great-grandma Gray, when I was very, very little, but I don't remember her. I wish I had those pictures on my computer, on my phone. I do not, because Legacy Box didn't exist back then. Legacy Box exists now to digitize your memories for future generations and for you. Don't put this off. Do it. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So there's a proposed bill in Ohio that would let power companies adjust thermostats at homes and small businesses. Now, obviously, that's insanely invasive, but I wanted to have just a talk with you really quickly. There is something that is happening that we've discussed before on this show. It's not just nationwide, it is worldwide. Two things are happening at once, and combined, they're both disastrous, absolutely disastrous. And the two things are this. Our need for energy, for power, is massively, exponentially increasing. Really, really fast. This has to do with these data centers that are being built. We need more energy now than we ever have. And what we need now pales in comparison to what we're going to need 5-10 years from now. We need more energy ever. Combine that with the fact that the communists globally have declared war on all proven forms of energy. Doesn't matter what it is, coal, natural gas, nuclear, they have declared war on it because they've declared war on humanity itself. Combine those two things. What it means is your power bill is going to keep going up, 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 up as they put more solar panels up and more wind farms up. Your power bill is going to keep increasing. It is almost inevitable at this point in time. Now, maybe you think this is one bill in Ohio, probably won't pass, doesn't apply to you. And I am here to tell you this. This is a warning. You can take it to heart or you can ignore me. It's completely up to you. But this is a warning. The government controlling the amount of power you use is going to become the norm in the future. If you choose to have your thermostat hooked up to the internet, if you make that decision, you have officially opened the door for them to do it to you. This particular bill in Ohio is not even what I'm talking about. It probably won't even pass Republican Ohio government, but it is coming. The government will react because what happens is, one, we know government buildings are never going to sacrifice any power for themselves. And two, remember that all these politicians, well, shouldn't say all, most politicians, every Democrat and most Republicans, they're all completely bought and paid for by their largest donors. And guess who the largest donors are? Let me go ahead and spoil it for you. It's not you and it's not Jesse Kelly. Their largest donors come from these gigantic corporations, the ones building the data centers. Yes, you can give $10 or even $2,000 to your member of Congress or to your senator. And don't get me wrong, they'll send you a nice card. You might even get a meet and greet and an attaboy. Appreciate your support. I super care about you. You understand how it works. You know what you don't have? You don't have $500,000 for their super PAC. But you know who does? Google. That would be like you giving your congressman 2 pennies. These huge corporations are going to buy your state legislature, as if they haven't already. They're going to buy the federal government. They're going to buy the presidency. And the result of this in the future is going to be the government is going to divert all the usable power in your area, in your state, towards the people who write them the largest checks, and you are going to be told to put a solar panel on your roof. And if they can't do that, they are going to reach their big, ugly, tyrannical hands into your home, and they're going to turn your thermostat to 80 in the summertime, so you have to walk around as if you live in Somalia, half naked, with fans running at all times, solar-powered fans, I may point out. This is coming. The energy crisis is so bad, and it is going to get so much worse. And your red state is not safe from it, because your red state is run by a bunch of eunuch Republicans, if I may point out my state in the state of Texas. Ob and I, every single month, are mortified by what our power bill is now. Every single month. And we use power, don't get me wrong. We have our AC down, but we're not walking around with the thermostats at 70 degrees in the summertime or something like that. That's not something we do. We're not that way. We don't have all the lights on in the house. I'm officially the angry old man who yells at the kids for leaving lights on and leaving the door open. We use power, but we're not ridiculous about it. Our power bill continues to get more and more insane because the eunuchs who run the Texas government, including Governor Greg Abbott, they throw up solar panels, they throw up wind farms, and they tell you all the time to use less power. This is happening in red Texas, so I know what's happening in South Carolina. I know what's happening in Alabama. I know what's happening in Wyoming. Don't think that your red state is free of this. The energy crisis is coming, and our governments at every level, federal, state, and local, they are going to steal the power that should go to you, and they are going to send it to their largest campaign donors. This is a warning to you, A, to get involved in your primaries and make this a priority for your Republican legislature, and B, you better get your thermostat unhooked from the internet. You had better find a way. Whatever you have to do that, do it. May not be a problem today, may not be a problem tomorrow, but let me tell you who your politician is going to pick if it comes down to choosing between you and Microsoft. Let me go ahead and give away the game. It's going to be Microsoft. It won't be you. Remember it. All right? That's all. Just a little heads up. Study links COVID injections to increased cancer risk, including breast and prostate cancer. This is a South Korean study. It's not a small study. The study was done on over 8 million people, so it's a large study. I'm not going to say whether it's true or not. I will say this. Many, 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 many people I know, I'm talking about doctors, many of them swore up and down that these COVID injections would cause cancer. They swore up and down after these COVID injections that they saw an alarming increase in cancer, including in young people. And the sad thing is you can't get it out of you now, but surely we can do something to hold the people accountable who force this into so many arms, maybe yours. Maybe your son was forced to, your daughter was forced to play sports. Maybe you were forced to in order to keep your job. Maybe you're in the military and it was give up your career or take it. So you took it and you have nothing but sympathy from me. I get it. Bills got to get paid. It's hard to give up a career for something. But the people who did this to us, the people who promoted it, all of them, if this is something that's causing cancer to rise, and what's worse than cancer? I mean, nothing. It's affected everybody. My family, it's just everybody. It's not my family. It's your family too. I know it. If they did this to us, someone better pay. That's all I'm saying. Someone better pay. We're going to do some emails. Before we do any emails, hiring people is a nightmare now. I know it. Hiring people is a nightmare, and you would think that the online world would make it easier, right? Surely makes it easier. It actually makes it more difficult. Yeah, you get to sift through resumes online, but you go sign up for these places, and they'll tell you, congratulations, 2,500 people qualify for the job you just posted. Well, no, they don't. No, they don't. You need somebody to narrow it down for you. Put the most qualified people at the front of the line because your time is valuable and you don't have time to sift through 2,500 resumes. You have a business to run. ZipRecruiter sifts for you. They narrow it down for you. ZipRecruiter will help you 4 out of 5 employers find somebody quality the first day. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. If it sounds like I'm talking quietly, it's because I am. I'm losing my voice a little bit, and I'm not exactly sure how she's going to hold up. But look, warriors soldier on, Chris. What? Don't roll your eyes. Warriors soldier on. I'm just going to keep going. We'll just play a lot of fluff.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Jesse, you stated there's no person of merit from Somalia. This was about our crappiest country in the world competition last night. What about the woman who was married to her brother, Ilhan Omar, Minnesota congresswoman? I said merit. Merit. I didn't say this disgusting human being. My goodness.
And so the idea that this is a white nation that needs to be preserved is a fascinatingly disgusting view, because this country is one for the many. Well,
I will say that because so many savages listen to this show, that we got a bunch of emails of people pointing out some Somali model, apparently. And of course, Jewish producer Chris looked her up and said, absolutely, she should be on the list. I've never heard of any Somali models. I'm not up on the modeling world. We are not going to make the Somali model a person of note, okay? You absolute animals. Dr. Jesse, I've been reading your book, and I'm the Golden Corral manager. Gosh, I would love to be the manager at Golden Corral, trying to help stop communism. I laughed for about an hour because I've encountered that feminist in your book many times before. Love your book. Have you ever eaten at Golden Corral? If so, menu doctor, what is your favorite item there? Says his name is Michael. Have I ever eaten at Golden Corral? I love Golden Corral. We used to, back when I was running for Congress in Tucson, we used to regularly meet for our meetings. There'd be GOP meetings, my campaign staff meetings. What are you shaking your head at? What are you laughing at? We would regularly meet at Golden Corral. Do you think that's funny, Chris? Is there something wrong with Golden Corral? There's nothing wrong with Golden Corral, okay? And I don't want to speak for every Golden Corral, but ours was pretty high end. They had fried shrimp that was dynamite. And every time I brought that up, some snooty person would be like, you can't eat that shrimp. It's delicious. I never got sick off of it at all. And they had a queso, a cheese sauce waterfall at our Golden Corral. Chris has seen it. See, Chris knows exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know if this is at every one, because I haven't been to one in a while. We don't have one in my area now. So it's been years. But at our Golden Corral, we had a cheese sauce waterfall. Let me say that again. We had a cheese sauce waterfall where you could get as much cheese sauce as you wanted. And you could put it on everything. And of course, I did put it on absolutely everything. Ob wasn't always that happy with some of my selections, but cheese sauce waterfall. Wrap your mind around that. Jesse, as a 35-year service retired cop, SWAT officer, and firearms trainer, I continually assess any place I go. Everyone should. I sit in a restaurant strategically watching the door, and I'm always thinking, what if? I go to the grocery store, and I'm constantly looking for problems. I always have a plan, an active and retreat plan. I'm not paranoid. I'm just wired this way after so many years in law enforcement. Get out of your phone and think about your surroundings. Try it. It's easy. I carry concealed, recently at church. It doesn't feel right, but I'm aware of the potential dangers. I'm lucky to live in Texas. Yes. Look, I've told my sons endlessly, whenever we go anywhere, we took them to New York City last year because we wanted them to see the 9/11 Museum and, you know, see the Statue of Liberty. So we take them places. even places that can be dangerous. We take them places. And so I have told them over and over and over again, not just that you are outright banned from being on your phone when you walk around. That is not allowed in my house. Put it in your pocket. If you have to text somebody, do something on social media, go sit down, go put your back to the wall, and then go back and get on the move. It's not only that. I tell them their best weapon is their eyes. Your eyes. You can say concealed carry is not legal where I live. And I, look, that's the case for a lot of people with these ridiculous gun laws. I understand that. Your best weapon is not the 9mm on your hip. Your best weapon is your eyes. I have avoided more bad trouble in my life by simply looking around. Open up your eyes. And that's so much harder now, because we have access to an endless world of knowledge and entertainment in our pockets. I get how hard it is. Again, I'm on my phone too. I have social media too. I like funny videos too. I like sending text messages too. I am not, you know, on Little House on the Prairie, out at a cabin in the woods, cutting my own firewood. I live in the modern day world too. I understand it. I have it too. When you are in public, put your phone in your purse, put it in your pocket, and open up your eyes. Open up your eyes. You will be surprised at how often you can spot trouble or potential trouble. Contrary to what you see in the movies, most of the bad guys are not calm, cool, collected, and looking like everybody else. That is something that exists in the movies, where the bad guy is super slick and handsome and he's in a suit and he knows how to blend into the crowd. Bad guys oftentimes practically wear a billboard above their head that says, "I'm a bad guy. I could at any moment do something bad." And if you just open your freaking eyes and look around, you can see him and cross the street. You can see him and walk out. Avoid trouble. Your eyes will save your life. Open them up. All right? All right. We're going to talk about the lying ecosystem, because artificial intelligence has become something the communists are using to their advantage. I'll explain what I mean next.
This is an iHeart podcast.